Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
I want to invite you to take all of your true self and open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. And let's invite the Spirit of God to begin to bring that level of authenticity and mutual disclosure to bear upon us. You are so much more than your marital status. You are so much more. We cannot change the world with the gospel until the gospel has truly changed us. And that's what much more is really all about. I always say to you, don't rip open the Bible and just start reading. You have to know what you have in your hands. This is Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. It's considered the greatest doctrinal treatise in history. Paul was brilliant, and his logic and his vocabulary and his insight, the Holy Spirit was working through a man who had studied the Word of God and was truly so capable of profound thinking. Romans is really just mind-boggling, and it's almost shameful what I'm going to do here, but sometime we'll go through the book verse by verse as we love to do. Romans chapter 1 through Romans chapter 3 is this. In a sentence, Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free, men and women are all sinners in need of God's forgiveness. That's Romans chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. Romans chapter 4 is salvation is by faith. It always has been, it always will be. Romans 4, 3, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. It's not a new plan. It's not a New Testament plan. It's the same plan, the old plan, the new plan, the same plan. The righteous shall live by faith. Now, that gets us to Romans chapter 5. We're real close to our theme verse now. I'll go a little slower. Are you with me? Romans chapter 5, verse 1 is a very precious verse to me. This is a picture of me and my brother standing outside of a little country church in Thamesford, Ontario, and I'm the cute one here on your right, and just a little close-up here of me. This is my great-grandfather. I have a Bible in my office at home that has Romans chapter 1 in it in his handwriting from 1916. This was his salvation verse, my great-grandfather. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2 begins to move the subject, Romans 5:2, through him. So we've got all this salvation stuff about the forgiveness of sins and peace with God through Jesus Christ. Romans 5:2. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So you see there, a past, have obtained access by faith to this grace in which we stand, that's present, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, make a note of this. The term salvation encompasses all that God does for you through faith in Christ, both, I got a little chart here, both past, present, and future. Now, you cannot properly understand what you have in Christ if you don't understand that the word salvation applies to past, reconciled, future, heaven. But come on now, isn't it true that most often we hear preaching about, isn't it true that most often we hear teaching about salvation as a past thing and salvation as a future thing? Isn't that right? And so we hear about how you were reconciled, redeemed, justified, converted. I always say if you have turned from your sin and embraced Jesus Christ by faith for your forgiveness, you've been given the authority to be called one of God's daughters. That's a special privilege. Not everyone is one of God's daughters, but if you have, and if you haven't, do it now. Do it right now. Turn from your sin this moment and embrace Jesus Christ by faith for your forgiveness. Your life will be changed. Your eternity will be altered. It's free and you need it badly. Someone say, we all do. And we have found that in Christ, so many of us in the past, here in the passage, he calls it reconciled to God. We were estranged from God because of our sin, but Christ did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and he died and paid the penalty for our sin. That's salvation in the past, reconciled. Then everybody's like, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23, and we're going to heaven. I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. I'm forgiven, I'm going to heaven. This is what almost all of the gospel preaching is about. But if God's women are going to live the life that God has called them to live, they're going to have to get on salvation present. Salvation present. Now let me show this to you. In Romans chapter 5. Verse 3, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, or we're supposed to. We're working on it. Someone say amen. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Here it comes. For while we were still weak at the right time, it's always on time, right? While we were still weak, unable to save ourselves, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He's back into the past again. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps, you know, there might be some hero guy who says, well, I'll die, I'll, you know, the police do it, the firefighters do it, you know, I'll do it for a good person. Maybe someone would do that. Come on, anyone, maybe someone? Someone say maybe. I mean, maybe it's conceivable. I mean, I guess people do that. That's not remarkable that someone would die for a good person. Here it is. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still, say it. Come on, ladies. While we were still
sinners.
But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, he's back to the past again. See the past tense there? Here comes your phrase. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. He did it again. He says, justified by his blood, everyone say past. Saved from the wrath to come, everyone say future. All right. Romans 5:10 is the John 3:16 of the Christian life. All right? Here comes, if you're a Christ follower, here comes your John 3:16 right here. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, more review of the past, much more, next word, say it. Much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. The title of this message is Much More Saved. Much More Saved. Now, I know there's some of you who are saying to themselves, hey, come on, James, I know you study the Bible, but I do too. And I've been studying the Bible for a long time, and everybody knows that salvation is a past thing, an accomplished fact, a reality in my life through faith in Jesus. Well, love you. But what are you going to do with Romans 5:10, which describes your salvation not just as a past thing, not just as a future thing, but as a right now. In fact, if you like to jot this down, Jesus Christ is saving you right now. Right now, He's still saving you. He's saving you right now. Now, I have to just point this out to you because it's just so awesome. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, Romans 5:10, much more now that we are reconciled. So look at the first phrase. Do you get his logic? If when we were enemies, God reconciled us, what were we? Really? I mean, honestly, come on. Do you believe that? I was an enemy of God. I was a good girl, you know. I studied sometimes. And you know, I tried to do my best, and there's a few things I probably wouldn't want everybody to know, but I got it together fairly quickly. I got myself kind of tucked in. I'm super tucked in now. And an enemy of God? Yes. Yes. And if we don't understand the sinfulness of our sin, the darkness of our hearts, all of us, not just sinners by behavior, but sinners by nature. Before a conscious thought had entered your mind, you were estranged from God as an infant, as was I, as were we all. And I labor there for this reason, because I just can't say it better than I prepared to say it to you, and I'm praying for the wisdom to choose my words well. Think of this. What will a God who saves his enemies do for those he now calls his daughters? Now think about this. This God saved his enemies. Who saves enemies? Good riddance. What goes around comes around. Finally, man, it's a little karma over here. That's what we're all like. Someone say, God help us. This is why we love the Lord. This is why we follow the Lord. He isn't like us. We were enemies of God. We were children of wrath, the Bible says. And just think for a moment what this God who saves enemies will do for those he now calls his daughters. The thought staggers the mind, but just so we can break this down a little bit, let's answer some quick questions. Much more who? So who? Much more who? Who's given the much more? Right, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the one. The greatest phenomenon that's ever crossed the horizon of this world. Jesus Christ. Muslims don't adore Muhammad. Buddhists are bored with Buddha. But everyone loves or hates Jesus Christ. Everyone. He is loved by the forgiven. He is blasphemed by the rebellious. He is marginalized by the unbelieving. The entire door of human history swings on the personhood of Jesus Christ. He is the centerpiece of civilization. As one preacher said, he stands in the solitude of himself. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. This Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, he is the one whose life brings to us much more. So much more who? Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ who says to every person here, a verse often used in reaching the lost, but truthfully, for your heart tonight, Jesus Christ says, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any, allow me, of my daughters will open the door to me, I will come in and dine with you and commune or have fellowship with you. Jesus Christ is looking for and longing for deeper intimacy with his daughters. Much more who? Jesus Christ. Much more how? notice by his life, by his life. When I was in high school, I was just starting to study the Bible a little bit by the time I was in 12th grade, and I went to a midweek Bible study and was so excited to get a moment with my senior pastor, and me and a friend asked him this question. If the saving work was done when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," if the work was the work done then? If the work was done then why did Jesus have to rise from the dead? Why? We thought we had him stumped. I don't remember where he turned, but he could have easily turned to Romans 5:10. If then we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more now we are being saved in the present by his life. And Jesus Christ is alive right now. And he is still in the process of saving you. Much more who, Jesus Christ, much more how by his life, much more when. All right, look at Romans 5:10. When. Much more, next word. Come on, say it. Much more. Much more now, right now, I am being saved by his life. As I said, Jesus Christ is saving you right now. Now, please get this. I wish I'd written it out. Most Christians think of salvation as a lot at the cross, a little for the rest of my life, and then everything else in the end. Now, be honest, have you thought that? A lot at the cross, a little bit for the rest of my life, and then everything else at the end. That is not the biblical gospel. We've been exhorted about sound doctrine. The biblical gospel is a lot, much more, everything else. That's the gospel. And that's what he's saying here. A lot in the past, much more than that. At the cross, we are saved from the penalty of our sin. But in Christ, as long as I'm using up oxygen on this planet, I am being saved from the presence of sin in my life. That is the bigger work. The bigger work is not a loving God declaring you righteous through faith in Jesus. That is the smaller part. The larger part, loved ones, is what he's doing in your life right now. Right? That's what much more is all about. What Jesus Christ wants to do in his sons and daughters after the cross, before heaven. The biggest thing Jesus Christ is doing in his daughters, he is doing it right now. So much more who, Jesus Christ, and much more how by his life, much more when, now, and much more what. I've said it already. Much more saved. Much more saved. Here, you have it by position. How many people would like to experience a little more, understand a little more, advance a little more in this being a Christ follower? How many people like to make a little more progress even than they've been making? Come on, honesty in church. Everybody satisfied where they're at? How many people like to pick up a little speed going forward? Sometimes, remember that movie where the kid said, "I hear voices"? Sometimes in my office, I hear voices. And I hear the person saying, "Okay, in concept, take more ground, you know, saving me from," but I mean, practically what? I mean, when I feel like I'm invisible to the man that I married, my husband isn't even seeing me. When my kids don't feel me and seem like they don't need me. when the plan I drew up in my 20s seems beyond recoverable. All right. Three things from the text, and we're done. Which is not in any way to imply that that would be soon. Love you. Here's the first thing, loved ones. Saved from my insecurity through much more reconciliation. Now, if you're a student of God's word, as I pray that you are increasingly so, you should want to see that in the text. And if I'm doing the job that I'm commanded to do faithfully, I should want to show it to you. Ready? Why'd you say that? Save from my insecurity through much more reconciliation. I said it because I see it. Let me show it to you now. In verse 10 and 11, the word reconciliation is actually used three times. Now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Much more than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Earlier in verse 10, if we were enemies, we were reconciled. Well, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but three times in two verses, we've got a theme emerging here, and the theme is reconciliation. Reconciled, just think of it, estranged, and then reconciled. I had no idea the amount of experience that I was going to get relationally when Kathy and I prayed in seminary, God, we'll go anywhere you want us to go, but we want to stay there. Trust me, there's been a lot of times in these 29 years that I've wanted to pack up all my lessons and mistakes and move down the road where I could go back to people thinking I was awesome. You know, start all over, go have a honeymoon, you know, checking the winter temperatures, surely we could. But what we always believed was staying in one place, working it out, growing together, even when it's hard, that's a big part of the gospel. Why is it that we think when we're reconciled to God, who we've been estranged from every day of our life, why is it that we think that all of a sudden everything, now look at positionally forgiven, absolutely. But fearful and learning to trust and trying and failing and trying again to live out this reconciliation. That's what verse 11 is about. Look at it again, please. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received, say it, reconciliation. Saved from my insecurities through much more reconciliation. How many years did you live before you were reconciled to God through faith in Jesus Christ? And how long has it been taking you to fully enter into that trust relationship without reservation? This is a little present. And I want you to imagine for a moment that I was going to give it to you, Laura. So, when is it yours? I'm going to give it to you. Is it yours now? When is it yours? Come on, when's it hers? She's strong. Okay. I want to change something that you've been told for years. I've always been told, and I've taught, that it's not yours until you say it. But I'd like to suggest to you that it isn't hers still. She doesn't even know what's inside. I'd like to suggest she needs to unwrap it. I'd like to suggest she needs to try it on. I'd like to suggest she needs to get comfortable in it. And no one ever taught me this, but I did learn it, I believe, from the Word of God and from the Lord, that while we are positionally reconciled to God through faith of Jesus in Jesus Christ, in a moment called conversion, redemption, reconciliation, all of the above, there is a much more being saved, which involves unwrapping the package, putting it on. So I came in with this crazy hat on tonight. I think this is actually kind of, I don't know, a little bit nerdish. I think only guys without hair wear these. And it was interesting, as I walked around to get onto the motorcycle, I took this off. I don't know, I think it's kind of dumb. I know that a lot of people wear these, but I really don't wear this very often. I'm not comfortable in it yet. I have it. Look at the word received in the text. When have you really received reconciliation? When you've checked the box, when the transaction's done, when you've got the fire insurance? Is that it? It's as good as it's ever gonna be right there? I'd say no. I'd say it's not comfortable yet. I don't know how to put my weight down on that. There's gonna be a whole much more being saved process that God's gonna take me through many weeks and months and years. So how do I know when I've really received it? I think that's in the text too. See the word rejoice? I would suggest that you've really made what we have in Christ your own as you begin to rejoice in it. Nothing's more grievous to a mature Christian than to see a person who has the reconciliation transaction done. They prayed the prayer, they signed the card, they went to the new believers class, they barely have it, listen, but they don't treasure it. It's not precious to them. It's not treasure to them. It's not beautiful to them. And when Meredith was singing, "What a beautiful name it is," you were, why? Because you haven't unwrapped the package, you haven't put it on, you haven't got comfortable in it, you haven't learned to put your weight down on it. That is what much more is all about. Not just forgiven, but much more now we are being saved by his life. So, why is it that Christians are so insecure? Why is it that men are so insecure? And if I may, why is it that so many women are so insecure? Because I'm asking a man to be for me what only Jesus Christ can be? Your boyfriend cannot possibly fulfill all the longings of your heart. Do you understand how completely up the creek without a paddle he is? His capacity to pay attention for 5 minutes to the complexities of your heart is almost always dormant. And when it does awake, it awakes for reasons that sometimes cause you more frustration. Promising, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's a hopeful, he really wants to connect. Oh. Your dream of the perfect husband is flawed. And it is most specifically flawed if you believe that anyone other than the God who made you can fulfill the longings of your heart. Jesus Christ bears no rivals. In what universe would he create a man who could meet the needs of your heart in a way that you didn't need him? Nope. Jesus Christ made you in such a way that there are parts of you, places in you, soul places, that no man other than the God-man, Jesus Christ, will ever get to. Settle that now. To turn away from the message of much more and to go off seeking it in other places is to set the timer for the detonation of massive personal disappointment. Your husband is damaged and distant and distanced through your pressing him to meet needs that he cannot meet. Your house is not his castle, and he is not a king. Now, let me tell him that on Sunday night myself.
Pastor James said, "You're not a king." That's what he said.
Your king is Jesus Christ, and you are betrothed to him. And all that your heart is looking and longing for can be found in him, or found in him again, or found in him afresh, more and much more deeply into receiving and rejoicing in this reconciliation. I love these mannequins. Have y'all got that magazine? Check out these mannequins. But in the magazine, a lot of times when they draw them, they have the picture of them. Not those. Did you see this in the magazine? What is going on here? Listen now. What's going on here is awesome. Who I really am, not my appearance, not my performance, not what others say about me, not my past. There's another me, a real me, that my king knows all about better than I know about myself. If you've turned from your sin and embraced Jesus Christ by faith, you are saved. It is settled in that sense. You are a daughter of the king. But it is also true that you are still being saved. Much more, we are being saved by his life. And that reality of your reconciliation to a king is a gift that you are still unwrapping. You're receiving it by putting it on and trying it out and trying again to trust this faithful king. And you're learning to rejoice in him and to delight in him. And it blesses his heart. Then this. So, saved from my insecurity through much more reconciliation. The word much more comes up twice more in the text. Allow me to jump to make these points. But the free gift is not like the trespass. What kind of gift is this gift? This gift, it's a free gift. The free gift is not like the trespass, for if many died through one man's trespass, there it is, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Now, it seems almost foolish to state the obvious, but Paul is a lot smarter than me. And so when I read that verse, like, do you find that a little bit kind of, huh? Come on, don't leave me up here. Come on, somebody, what'd you think when you read that? Huh? It's interesting, though, how the words themselves, even though this isn't the original language that the New Testament was written in, some careful study and reflection upon the actual words causes the passage to yield its meaning. And here it is. Look up here and I'll just try to explain it. Adam, the original man, sinned, and because of his sin, we all are born with a sin nature, and we are all inclined toward the wrong, born estranged from God. With that in mind, the free gift of salvation is not like the trespass. The Jesus part is not like the Adam part. For if many died, all of humanity has been dying for thousands of years, through Adam, one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Here it is. Salvation is not just a return to the Garden of Eden, as in Adam fell, we're all sinners, death is coming, hell's our future. Wait. Jesus Christ, the cross, back to the Garden of Eden. No. In the Garden of Eden, they could choose. They could fall. We could do it all again. Garden of Eden, sin, Jesus Christ, the cross, now. It's not as good as it was. It's much more than it was. The new plan, the salvation plan, the grace plan, the free gift plan is, say it, it's much more than the old plan. I love that, and I just want to focus in on this little phrase here. By the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. I'm calling this saved from my selfishness through much more grace giving. See it there? For many. Everybody say for many. One of the things that could entirely alter the landscape of our church would be the women of our church getting a vision that they are not simply saved for themselves. Not saved to feel better, not saved to do better. Not just that, not only that, but saved for others. And all around you, there are women that you know who do not know Christ. And there are women that you haven't met that don't know Christ. And it's God's design not only that this would overflow in the rejoicing of reconciliation in your own life much more, but that this would overflow in the end of selfishness and the beginning of grace giving so that others could know too. A famous Sunday school teacher, Henry Trimble, said this, unless a woman is willing to work for the salvation of others, it can be questioned whether or not she really has enough of Christ to save herself. She who wants only enough of Jesus to save herself isn't likely to have even that much. Underline in your Bible that phrase, abounded for many, abounded for many. Many, many men in our church have come to Christ through Act Like Men. And I believe that it's God's desire that many women would come to know Christ through the women in this church. I believe that it's not God's desire simply for you to harvest all the benefits of life in Christ without thinking about all of the people around you, on your street, where you work, where you live, who this moment are lost and without hope and without God in this world. And you have to come to the place eventually where it isn't about me anymore. It's about others. I didn't lose a night's sleep for myself. There's something wonderful about losing your life for the sake of others, and that is a huge part of the much more that God wants us all to live. I've talked a lot about my mother, and I think that probably some of you, this is my mother here, she was very pretty, and this is her adorable son, James, right here. And I've talked a lot about my mom, but you've never heard this. Here's the names of four women you've never heard of. Marg Salisbury, Judy Eaves, Judy Nixon, and Dorothy Hamill. If I was standing on the front lawn of the house I grew up in, looking at the street, Dorothy Hamill lived here, Marg Salisbury lived there, Judy Eaves lived there, and Judy Nixon lived behind our backyard. I couldn't possibly count the number of times, back to the picture of me and my mother, I couldn't possibly count the number of times I came into the kitchen from outside, from school, from something, and there was my mother at the kitchen table, praying with a woman in the neighborhood, sharing Jesus Christ. Dorothy Hamill never responded to the gospel as far as I know, and when my mother went to heaven, she had already passed. But at my mother's funeral, Marg Salisbury, Judy Eaves, Judy Nixon, all people my mom led to Christ, across the kitchen table. And why the passion for Jesus in me? I fear for parents who want Jesus for their children but don't want him for anyone else. Much more is all about this grace gift abounding to many. And finally this, saved from defeat through much more reigning. I'd love to go through all of this. My time is gone. Verse 17 says, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more, there it is again, will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Saved to experience increasingly that reconciliation. Being saved right now by the life of Christ so that this message, this grace gift could abound to many. And saved by Jesus Christ alive right now, still saving me from my tendency to get under the weight of circumstances. God doesn't want you under circumstances. God wants you to reign over your circumstances. Do you see it in the text? Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign. Say it, reign, say it. Reign. God wants you to, say it. Reign. God wants you ladies to reign. God wants you to rule over stuff. He has given it all to you. You have forgiveness, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word of God, you have a loving Christian community all around you. There is nothing happening to any of you that you need to be under. And God wants you to get up on top of that painful relationship, up on top of that huge disappointment, up on top of that future uncertainty, that thing that would weigh you down. That thing that would keep you home, that thing that would hide you away, that thing about yourself that you don't want others to see. God wants you to reign in this life, to rule over those things. God wants you to live like the woman he declares you to be. God wants you to live like the much more woman he declares you to be. Like the woman he's still saving. Like the woman he's still reaching and still drawing deeper into reconciliation, deeper into unselfishly giving this free grace gift, and more deeply into reigning over those things that would reign over you. I just want to mention those dresses again. I really like this. Just leave that up. It's who you really are. It's the way your king sees you. One thing I did get right as a parent with my only daughter, there's a lot I would love to do differently and better, but I did always teach my daughter that she was a princess. In fact, from the time she was 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, I would be in my office meeting with who knows, some important pastor, some impressive business person, some politician. She didn't, nothing. Just walk right in my office, no knocking, no nothing. Just walk right in. Hey, Dad, how's it going? You know, and hi, princess, how are you? And always, 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 always the same. She did it this week. We taught our kids that mom is the queen, Jesus is the king, and that men are to serve women. So I taught my daughter that she was a princess. I can remember sitting with her on the couch when she could barely comprehend, with tears running down my cheeks, watching this little scene in a movie. Let me share it. It's just a minute or so, but it means so much to me. Watch this.
What's going on here?
It's not their fault. I asked them to come.
You five, get downstairs immediately. I'll deal with you later. Becky, you will remain locked in your room for the entire day tomorrow without meals. Go! And you will perform all her chores in addition to your own without breakfast, lunch, or dinner. It's time you learned, Sarah Crewe, that real life has nothing to do with your little fantasy games. It's a cruel, nasty world out there, and it's our duty to make the best of it. Not to indulge in ridiculous dreams, but to be productive and useful. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Good.
But I don't believe in it.
Don't tell me you still fancy yourself a princess. Good God, child, look around you. Or better yet, look in the mirror.
I am a princess. All girls are. Even if they live in tiny old attics, even if they dress in rags, even if they aren't pretty, or smart, or young, they're still princesses. All of us. Didn't your father ever tell you that? Didn't he?
If I find you up here with any of the girls again, I will throw you out into the street!
All right, I love that. And that is such a beautiful expression of exactly what I am trying to say. Your Father in heaven, who has loved you through his Son, Jesus Christ, would say to you, you are a princess. All of his daughters are. And your Father in heaven wants you to know that and to live like it, testing the blessing of reconciliation and learning to rejoice in the much more of it, and getting free from your selfish living and seeing the world as ripe to harvest lost people in need of Jesus, and the much more of seeing your life used to reach others.
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving, loving God, and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.